Political Watch with Graham Richardson.
Good morning, Mr. Richardson. How are you?
I'm very well indeed, thank you, and I hope you are the same.
Exactly, yep. Good to talk to you as always, mate. Politics. Well, I suppose in Canberra they've gone into the winter break, but we had overnight the result of the UK election. A mandate like this comes with a great responsibility, Prime Minister Starmer said. I tell you what, mate, with almost all the results in, Labor's won 410 seats in the 650-seat House of Commons, and the Conservatives 118. My goodness, didn't Labor trounce the Conservatives, Richo?
This is electoral slaughter. I'm staggered by the result. I mean, it was pretty obvious Labor was going to win. That's not a surprise, but the extent of the majority is just amazing.
What does that do for governments when they have that size majority?
Well, I think over there where the House of Lords doesn't matter much, it matters a great deal. It means that you have a free hand pretty much. You can do whatever you like. And, of course, as they always say, with all that power comes great responsibility.
True. Is it healthy for British citizens?
Oh, yeah, I think so. Conservatives had a big run, and so I think it's always good for democracy to have a change. I don't think anyone should govern forever, even Labor. biased though I may be, I could never say that's a good idea.
I see that one of the stories that came out of yesterday was that Liz Truss was the shortest-serving Prime Minister in British history, something like 40-odd days, but she's lost her seat as well, so she's Gonski.
Yeah, this is an extraordinary result. Britain has just not seen anything like this. It's just amazing. And, you've got to, take your hat off to Keir Starmer, because it's never easy to deliver a result this big. I know they're going to say he was a small target, but you can't be that small. I think he did brilliantly. And I don't know the bloke, but I wish I did.
Richo, the other thing, I believe he was only hours away in recent times. He was only hours away from being all fed up with it and resigning.
Yeah. It's pretty amazing. I think he's a lucky man, because he made the right decision in the end, didn't he?
He sure did. From UK election to US election, I see that Joe Biden has said he's proud to be the first black woman to serve with a black president in one of a series of verbal gaffes. I mean, it just gets worse for Joe, doesn't it? And now, in the latest poll, Kamala Harris is now more popular than Joe Biden, and we have never seen that before.
No, and she's not exactly popular. But Joe is just an athlete of people now. I mean, I think people are realising that Joe is past it. And, it's tragic to me if Trump was to come back, but you wouldn't blame Americans for putting him back, because the Democrats are serving up a man in his 80s who's just past it. And, he should be in a home, mate. He should be sitting there with a shawl around his shoulders in the rocking chair, watching the world go by, because that's about all he's suited for now.
Well, this week he's vowed to stay on. There's been many say he shouldn't, but, he's vowed to stay on. We were talking earlier this morning to Dr. Keith Suter, and he was referring to, have you heard or read anything about this thing called 2025, Program 2025?
No.
Program 2025 is apparently a 1,000-page document. You can get it off the internet. Keith Suter said, read it. It's 1,000 pages, so you probably won't read the entire 1,000 pages. But this Program 2025 is all about what happened last time and what would happen this time with Trump winning the presidency. You see, last time it was something new for Trump. He'd not been there before. Now, he's been there for 4 years. He's been planning for 4 years. And Program 2025 is what he could achieve in the next 4 years with the presidency of the United States. I think Keith started by saying, if you want to lose sleep tonight, read some of this program 2025, because it's scary stuff.
Yeah, I imagine it would be. Look, a return to Trump is just unthinkable, really. And yet, we've got to think about it.
Yeah, we do.
It's just something that I don't think anyone in the world wants to do. I mean, he has his rusted-on supporters in the United States, and they don't go away no matter what. But now there's a pretty big lump of voters who are anti-Trump. So it's really going to be a difficult thing for America to decide. But a return to Trump is just something I can't imagine.
Prime Minister Anthony Albanese is interviewed today in the Telegraph, and one of the stories, or one of the headlines of the stories, is he says he's stared down the threat of another interest rate rise, promising Australians that it's going to get better. He's promised Australians that it's going to get better. We've talked a bit about it this morning. We've taken some calls. We've taken some emails from people. With comments like that, with the state of the economy at the moment, Graham, it seems as though a constant threat is that Albo's out of touch, and a lot of his politician mates are out of touch as well, i.e., you know, Chalmers. I think someone said this morning, Chalmers and Albanese are completely out of touch. They just don't realise how tough it is out there on Struggle Street.
I don't think that's a fair criticism, but nobody knows Struggle Street better than Anthony. He grew up in it, and he's done it tough all his life. And until very recent years. So I just don't accept that. He knows exactly how it is to struggle, how tough it can be in Australia when you are on the Struggle Street side of things. And I think Anthony's doing a pretty good job. Anthony Albanese is not perfect. Nobody is. But by the same token, what should he be doing that he isn't now? I mean, I think, you know, he's embarked upon a path that looks reasonable to me under the circumstances, and I think you've just got to see it through.
Okay. I asked you the question last week about Fatima Payman, should Albo have got rid of her, and you said yes. In fact, I didn't ask you that question, and people gave me stick because I didn't ask you a follow-up question last week. Look, we now know what has happened and the fact that she has basically left the Labor Party herself. Do you think it was a mistake when all this happened and she crossed the floor that the Prime Minister didn't dismiss her from the party then and there?
Yeah, he should have. It was a mistake. The big mistake was ever letting her in the party, because this was someone who had views that were to the left of the Labor Party, and she was obviously not going to change them. I would never, if I was running the show, would never have let her get in.
What damage can you see her doing now? Look, she's made it by resigning from the Labor Party this week. She's made it, you know, very difficult in reference to they've now lost a crucial vote in the Senate.
Yeah, I think she'll vote with Labor most of the time anyway.
Right.
I don't really believe that's going to change. She's too far left to be voting for the Liberals. So I think Labor will survive this. But it's never pleasant when you lose someone.
The speculation that she's been courted by the community group The Muslim Vote. I mean, there's been talk this morning, Graham, about, you know, her setting up a Muslim vote party here in Australia. My goodness.
Yeah, I mean, look, she may do that, but I don't think it'll work. So it's not something about which I'd lose a lot of sleep if I was Albo. It's never good to see anyone leave. It's never good to see anyone, talking about forming other parties. But religious-based parties in Australia have never worked. This one won't either.
It seems also ridiculous that we have a system whereby she can get into the Senate on just 1,600 votes.
Yeah, it is. It's crazy, isn't it? If you live in Tasmania, you can get in with your cousin's vote for you. You get in. You don't need anything else. So it's something that, it was all set up as a, to make sure that New South Wales and Victoria didn't dominate the parliament. Well, I tell you what, I bet you a few people are saying, I wish they did now.
Can you ever see the system changing, apart from, you know, the obvious change if we were to become a republic?
No, I cannot see it changing. Too hard to change the constitution here. The small states simply never vote for it, so it doesn't happen. And you know, I'm a believer in the republic, but I wouldn't be doing a thing about it because you can't win it at the moment, and there's no point in having the vanity to just charge up San Juan Hill, as they say, when you know at the other end there's enough cannon there to blow you out of the water.
I know that I'll get emails about this, so I should ask you this question. Did the Prime Minister Albanese not dismiss Fatima Payman from the party because he was worried about the backlash from the Muslim vote, you think?
Well, I think you've got to be hesitant about things like this. You don't just jump in and do things. And so, yeah, he would have given that a lot of thought. But when the crunch comes, you can't allow someone to hold the party up as a joke, and that's what she was doing. I think getting rid of her was the only course available to him.
I see that yesterday Chris Minns has come out and said that Labor politicians in New South Wales who vote against the party, they've been put on notice that they will face immediate or indefinite, and I suppose immediate, indefinite suspension identical to the action taken against Fatima Payman. So obviously Chris Minns has seen what's gone on and thought, hang on a tick, there's a possibility this could happen here in New South Wales. It's not going to happen under my leadership, and if it does, they need to know that they'll be in trouble.
Yeah, well, I always like to see strong leadership. And that's one thing you've got to say Chris Minns provides. Good luck to him. I think he's exactly right on this.
What did you think of the protesters and the fact that they actually got through? I know that, you know, Barnaby Joyce has come out and said they're a bunch of dipshits or something like that. You know, typical Barnaby calls a spade a spade. But isn't it ridiculous that these damn Palestinian protesters actually got onto the roof of Parliament House in the first instance?
Well, that's really scary. What if they weren't more than just protesters? What if one of them had evil intent and came with something in his pocket that could have done some damage? You know, it's a real worry to think that anyone can breach security. To think that a bunch of them can breach security is terrifying.
Well, as I think it was again Barnaby Joyce said, if someone can get access to the roof, their access to the building is much easier, and it shouldn't happen. I mean, security, obviously, they will be certainly looking at security. But on the other side, I mean, these protesters, we've had a week plus now, Richo, of protesters. You've probably read the stories of protesters in Newcastle causing grief with the coal trains and with the train system here. But, mate, they get arrested by the police, they're thrown in the paddy wagon, they're taken away, and then they stand up in front of a magistrate and they get a slap on the wrist. And as they leave the court, they're all smiles because they think, we got away with this.
Well, I think what should happen is that every single one of them, at a minimum, does 3 months jail. I say at a minimum because I'd like it to be 6 months. But you do that to them, you'll find they won't back up protesting too often. We are just too lenient. It's okay to say everyone has a right to protest. Of course they do. But they don't have a right to interrupt the state in democracy. They've never had that right and they never will.
We've had some people say that they should be billed for the costs of, you know, the police and everything that it costs to, you know, get them off the train or get them off Parliament House. They should be paying those costs. And my comment is, most of them don't have a job anyway, so you never get any money out of them.
I was just about to say that. These people don't work. The only way they'd pay it off is if they paid it off out of their unemployment benefit. Because that's what most of them live on.
Well, and which raises another topic. I mean, if only we could have a law that says, if you do this, you are on benefits, you lose those benefits.
Well, I think you certainly should lose a percentage of them. I don't think you can just say to people, you go out and starve. But by the same token, you can say, you are abusing a great privilege that Australia gives you, and we're not going to allow you to continue to do that without further punishment.
Richo, there's been talk about it in the last couple of weeks. Do you think we'll ever see a party in Australia that is game to introduce a sugar tax?
Well, that's a big call. I think we will, because the health aspects of this are becoming far too obvious. The diabetes rates are just soaring. And so, yeah, I can see a day where that happens.
Yeah, I suppose, what 1.5 million Australians are known to be living with diabetes. They're talking about all these things. A landmark report on the state of diabetes in Australia was aimed to reduce the burden. It's just unbelievable. The committee made 23 recommendations to strengthen the government's response to diabetes and obesity. I talked to Dr. Ross Walker every week, have done for years on a regular basis. He's a regular guest of the show, and he calls it diabesity.
Yeah, he's right. It's a huge and growing problem. I can't sit here and be a hypocrite. I'm diabetic. I'm overweight. I always have been. And therefore, you invite diabetes in.
Have you ever done one of these? It's funny we talk about this because it is Dry July. And just before I came to you, we were talking about Dry July and people giving up the grog for the month of July. I was saying to people, if you're in day six of Dry July, ring me and let me know how you're feeling. Dry July, Feb fast, October sober. Have you ever done one of these months where you've given up the grog?
I gave up the grog for a long time once when I was sick. Mm-hmm. In fact, it was nearly a year. I've done it in that respect. I must say that it does make you feel better. You wake up in the morning with a bit more spring in your step than you do if you're drinking. There's no doubt about that. But it's a democracy. If you want to drink, you've got to be allowed to drink.
Yeah, I did October sober once, and if you're a regular drinker, and I'm not talking about, getting drunk every night of the week or being a person that needs to drink to feel better in life, but if you just like sitting down having a couple of drinks with your wife over dinner or maybe a whiskey after dinner, it's... If you think about it, is it difficult to give it up? Richo, there's a book. There's a book that was written by an advertising executive, and it's called Fat, 40, and Fired. That's the name of it. Fat, 40, and Fired. And it's the story of an advertising executive working in Sydney, a well-paid advertising executive working in Sydney, who loses their job. And, of course, the days of advertising executives in Sydney, we're talking, the days of the ponytail and the Porsche, not the tattoo and the Tesla as it is now. I mean, Friday lunches were mandatory. I mean, you just went out for lunch on a Friday and you didn't come back to work. And you, you woke up every Saturday morning worse for wear because of the extended Friday lunch. But Fat 40 and Fired, he and his wife receive a wedding invitation. And on the bottom of the wedding invitation, it's a dry wedding, right? And this bloke was a really good friend of him and his wife. And he said to his wife, genuinely, honey, do you think we should go to this wedding? Because it had on the bottom of the invitation, it was a dry wedding. And they just didn't know whether they could get through the entire wedding without having a drink. He said, on reflection, it was that particular moment I realised I had a problem with drinking.
Yeah, I've been to a dry wedding. It was a Baptist wedding. And, we drank cordial. it wasn't much fun, but it didn't make a lot of difference. I mean,